Good morning, everybody. Yeah, can you hear me all right in the back? Well, I'd like to say it's a fine day to get up at 8:30 in the morning, or probably 6 o'clock in the morning, and come and talk about public health finance. So, good morning. The title of our presentation today is Developing a Tool for Estimating Local Health Department's Costs of Providing Public Health Services, and this is a project of the North Carolina Public Health Practice-Based Research Network. Simona Singh, who is a health economist and a partner on this project, was supposed to co-present with me, but she was unable to make it this morning, and neither of us, though, have anything, any kind of relationships to disclose. So I want to start with the motivation for this study. So what does it cost to provide the mandated public health services? Excuse me, I have a little bit of a sore throat. So I want to talk just for a second about the genesis of this project. And the original research question came from a conversation I had with the co-I on this project, Lisa Harrison. And Lisa had been in public health for a long time in North Carolina, but primarily as a scientist. And she accepted a job a couple of years ago as a health director of a two-county health district in North Carolina. And so that was her first position of that kind. And I had always been curious about the day-to-day activities of a local health director because it seems to be very challenging and high energy, and I just wonder how people deal with the multitude of challenges that come their way. And so Lisa and I had lunch not long after she took her position. And one of the things I think is particularly challenging, at least for me, would be budget. And so we started talking about that. And Lisa expressed her frustration in the way budgets were handled, kind of universally. And one of her frustrations was that she couldn't even find out what it cost to provide services in her health department. And so that began our inquiry into the cost of providing health services. And on the drive home that day, and I remembered thinking to myself, and I'm not a finance person, thinking to myself, how can they not know what it costs? You know, they operate these organizations like businesses, I'm assuming. You have to know what something costs, right, in order to provide the services and make the decisions that you have to make regarding the services that you provide. And so just to set this up, I guess what I would say is one of the things I had to learn on this journey was that there's a difference between what you budget for, what you spend, and what things cost. And the challenge was not being able to identify costs. So that's the setup for this story. And the little, so we'll go on to say little's known about the cost of providing these services, but understanding the factors that contribute to cost is absolutely critical. It's critical for demonstrating the need for funding for people who are going to give you money. It's critical for programmatic decision-making, including decisions, for example, regarding fee structures. And it's critical for achieving efficiency in public health interventions. And so here's an example of why you need to know what things cost, again, coming from Lisa's health department. So this is a two-county health district. And in fiscal year 2012, this is a population of 110,000 across two counties. Lisa's health department spent over $350,000 on communicable disease and got just over $31,000 toward that from the state. Similarly, in environmental health, they spent over $600,000 and got $16,000 from the state. In vital records, they got nothing. Well, somebody's got to pay for that, and so you have to justify your costs in some way. So, again, more motivation for this study. So our specific aims, and so fortuitously, I guess I should say, after that conversation that Lisa and I had, the Public Health Practice-Based Research Network, the coordinating center funded by RWJ, announced an RFP for doing exactly this, figuring out what things cost. So our specific aims came about as estimating and validating the cost per unit of service. That's another key kind of piece of what we did. Excuse me. To construct a validated methodology for doing this. And then once we had developed this cost system, to figure out what the differences in delivering services were across the state. So we had focused on mandated services, and our first challenge became finding data. In North Carolina, as elsewhere, local health departments are charged with either providing directly or assuring the provision of certain services. And the services that the health departments have to provide in North Carolina are listed here on your left. And ultimately, we came to decide that the best services for us to cost were food and lodging, on-site water, and sewage. That was primarily related to the availability of data. So we developed or took the approach of three different cost methodologies. The first involved canned data, data that was routinely reported to the state, and we had 5 years of data for that. And then a resource-based method, which is the topic of this conversation today, and that involved collecting data from 16 health departments on costs. And then a time log approach, which is a diary approach, which we're still in the middle of collecting. So to go in a little bit of depth about our tool, the instrument was based on the SASCAP tool, which I have to go to my cheat sheet to tell you what that means or what it stands for. It was developed by some folks at RTI, and it was developed primarily for assessing the cost of substance abuse services. So there was no tool in existence for doing this, so we had to develop our own. We based it on the SASCAP tool. Did I say what that stands for yet? Substance Abuse Services Cost Analysis Program, and it came out of our team. And the tool consists of two parts, a cost module and then a labor module. In the cost module, we included assessment of direct costs and indirect costs. And the labor module had to do with staffing the various services, again, to arrive at a per-service cost. The tool combines these two modules into one Excel spreadsheet. And for each service, such as food and lodging, the tool asks respondents to provide information on the number of services provided, the number of staff required to deliver those services, and their salaries and benefits. It also collects information about resources, other direct costs, including rent and equipment, supplies, subcontracts, and indirect costs. I should add that we spent a really long time testing the tool. So we had a number of environmental health managers and other staff in several health departments. We went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, trying to refine the measure using language that was understandable and we thought could be understood across health departments. So it really did undergo a lot of testing. In terms of data collection process, to date we have 14 of our hoped for 16 health departments who've completed the tool. The analysis we'll see today is just based on 10 of those. The respondents usually included the finance officer and the environmental health manager, each providing the information relative to their content area. The time required to complete the tool ranged from 3 hours to 12 hours. And all of the health departments received at least one follow-up phone call to clarify responses and obtain additional information if needed. And it was always needed. I have to say that. It was a little bit difficult to, it was as if we could not find really a common language to use to collect the information. There were always questions, which is fine. So in terms of our preliminary results, this is number of services and number of FTEs with food and lodging on the top line. So the median number of food and lodging services provided by these 10 health departments was about 2,700. And the number of FTEs required to deliver those services was 4.5. In terms of on-site water and wells, the median number of services delivered in a calendar year, a fiscal year, was about 6,600. And again, the number of FTEs was a median of 4.6. So what we can see here is that the delivery of food and lodging services is more labor-intensive, it appears, than the delivery of on-site water and wells. And so now these are our preliminary results regarding cost. And for food and lodging, the total cost, the median, was about $340,000. And the cost per service was $139,000 with a range of $100 to $173,000. The cost per capita for these services was $3.60. For on-site water and wells, we see that the total cost, the median total cost, was close to $400,000, but the median per service cost is $79, with a cost per capita of $4.32. And again, we see that it's really staffing or these fixed costs that appear to be driving the cost of services. This is a scatter plot of cost per service on the y-axis and the number of services provided on the x. And again, and what we see here is the economies of scale, that as the number of services go up, the price per service goes down. And this is the same analysis provided for on-site water and wells. And I will say here, this is very preliminary. There are no confounders in here. There are no other factors are considered in these analysis. This is just plotting cost and service on a single graph. So in terms of lessons learned, adapting the tool, our costing tool based on the SASCAP tool, was a challenge to make it understandable and usable for local health departments across the board. Generating cost estimates was complicated by the fact that many of the health departments, their budget procedures do not easily lend themselves to splitting program costs. For example, they don't pay rent generally, and they have a hard time identifying indirect and overhead costs. And if you know anything about health departments, this really shouldn't be a surprise. You know, you have a Department of Environmental Health, and everybody's in the same room. They're sharing cubicles. They are sharing space. They're sharing equipment. And so dividing costs out by program is challenging. In terms of implications for practice, we all know that increasing demand for accountability in public health service delivery and outcomes is increasing, right? We have to be accountable for the things that we do and the money that we send. And so and efficiency is a key consideration. I want to close with a story about a second person that we met, aside from Lisa, in the conduct of this study, an environmental health manager, a young guy who, like Lisa, had just taken on his position. And he was asked by his superiors to figure out whether or not he should raise his fees. And so being a kind of a logical guy, he started with the question, well, what does it cost? And he kind of took the same journey we did to discover that there's no real good easy way to figure out what things cost. And that led him to a master's degree. But the point of this story is that this is a frustration that is shared across our state and shared by people who are trying to do this work. Our next steps are to cross-validate our instrument with the three different approaches that we adopted, and then to go on to do what I think is the interesting work, which is examining the influence of the different delivery structures on costs. I think that's it. Thank you. We have to acknowledge Robert Wood Johnson for funding. Thank you.